Our passage today is in Luke chapter 2, and starting in verse 8 through 20. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. The Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. I can remember well the excitement on the other end of the phone. Now, many of you can relate with the expectation of a child or a grandchild, the anticipation that's charged with a tremendous excitement, tinged with a bit of tension and uneasiness for that unknown future. Now, back a few years ago, and well, you see how he's a 6'4 strapping young man now, it was quite a few years ago, when Sharon and I had been stationed in Germany for about 5 months, we experienced the birth of our firstborn son, Sam. And since we were so far from home, no one in the family was able to be there with us. It was just the two of us with the baby to come. And as with most births, we were not really sure exactly when this little one was going to insist that he was ready to be born. But we had a doctor's appointment to go and check on, see how the pregnancy was going. And well, to our surprise, the doctor said it was time. And due to circumstances, he had to induce labor. And I still remember how nervous we were, that nervousness that's mixed with excitement. And I felt a little bit of helplessness as I sat with Sharon. So I called the grandparents and I told them that Sharon was being induced, that she was being induced, and to stand by the phone. And of course, this was before we had cell phones. So you had to do that then. You had to stand by the phone, you know. And so I told them I would call them when the baby was born. Well, after a day and a half of labor, God bless you, honey, our firstborn son entered this world. Now, you can imagine the exhaustion and the whole event that had been an emotional roller coaster for us, but we had a little boy. And after the nurses had come in and had done their business, it took a moment for me to run to the payphone and call the new grandparents. "It's a boy. He and Sharon are all right. Praise the Lord." And the excitement on the other end of the phone came through loud and clear. They were laughing, they were crying, they were yelling in excitement about this wonderful good news of the birth of their little grandson. And they immediately called and announced this good news to all their friends and all the extended family. And a few days later, the grandparents came flying into town. They made utmost haste to go halfway around the world to see that little baby. And along the way, coming and going, they told everyone that they came in contact with about their little grandson over in Germany, who was such a joy to them. Isn't the birth of a child just a wondrous occasion? We all have this in common in one way or another. Perhaps your own stories of the birth of your children and grandchildren are flashing through your head even now. Maybe your nieces and nephews, brothers and sisters. And it's also something that we have in common with Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Nearly 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ was born. His mother, Mary, and Joseph went through this incredible experience. And they did it together, alone, in a stable. And over the centuries, we've celebrated this wondrous birth during this time of year, Christmas. But it seems that more and more of the world has shifted its focus of Christmas time to Santa Claus, elves, Christmas trees, and presents. And the entire focus of Christmas in our culture has been taken off of Christ. And Christmas time has become a time of forced good feelings, forced cheer, forced expectations of some sort of extraordinary happiness, which, by the way, if you don't have, you get called a Scrooge. Statues of snowmen, Santa Claus, and Rudolph covered in blinking lights, covering people's lawns. People compete over this stuff. And then those people who spout vague comments, and you see this in the movies, something about the spirit of Christmas, whatever that is. And every kid in America can tell you about Santa Claus, but Jesus? No. No. The time that was set apart has been usurped. It has become merely a holiday season. So people say happy holidays, or even mandated to do so by the business that they work for in some cases, rather than saying Merry Christmas. The joy and the wonder that the Son of God, the Messiah, King, Jesus Christ, our Savior, this joy and wonder of His birth has been muted. And the world's influence is so strong that even Christians can get caught up in the frivolous distractions that pull our focus away from the real point of why we celebrate Christmas, which is, of course, to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And so today, let us focus on that birth as the whole point of Christmas. Look again at Luke 2, starting verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Imagine what was going on with the shepherds that night, and how they must have felt when this host of angels appeared before them. I mean, here they were sitting out in this field, watching their sheep, just like any other normal night for them, and then all of a sudden, boom! An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Now, I imagine that this was a significant emotional event for them. You know, it doesn't say any of them had a heart attack, but wow. Boom, an angel. The Lord got their attention, got it quick. And excitedly, this messenger of God, this angel, he told them this good news. The long-awaited Savior and King, the Christ, was born, finally. And then, with the multitude of angels singing, and it must have been a wonder as such that we can only begin to imagine. And after that, there was no need to convince the shepherds of the truth of the proclamation. The shepherds dropped everything and they ran all the way to Bethlehem to see this Savior, this little baby just born. Consider the message the angel told them in verse 10. "I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people." We must not miss that the Lord chose to announce the birth of His Son not to the rulers of the world, not to the wealthy, not even to the religious leaders. No, where, for example, Sharon, well, I called Sharon's and my parents when our son was born, God called the shepherds when His Son was born. Lowly shepherds who were dirty, ceremonially unclean, and distrusted by good society. And Jesus, of the royal line of David, the Son of God, His birth was announced to them. This is significant. Christ came to be a joy for all people, the Savior of all who would believe in Him. And I suppose if He had been born in a palace and announced to the elite, well, that such a message would have been lost. God demonstrates that He does not discriminate in His love on the basis of class, wealth, or social standing. He does not respect kings more than poor laborers. And He does not respect pastors over the people in the pews. Jesus came to be the Savior of all, the sinner, the desperate, the unloved, and even the rich and the rulers. And the announcement was very specific. And the little baby was a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now the shepherds, as Jews, would have identified Him with the long-awaited Messiah, the King who would bring salvation to His people and who would rule forever. And He was not in a palace. He was in a stable, lying in a feeding trough, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now perhaps they wondered at why this was so. The scriptures say nothing of this. But how could they refute the testimony of a multitude of heavenly angels? Yes, this little baby they ran to see. Indeed, He was the Savior, the Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. And having heard the good news, they believed. And with His birth, everything was changed forever. And the baby would grow up to be raised by a carpenter in Nazareth. He'd minister for 3 years. And then He would die upon a cross. And the Lord of all the universe humbled Himself to become a baby, a carpenter boy, a wandering preacher, in order to be killed on a cross. And He did this for you. He did it for you. Jesus saved the world. And if you believe in Him, following Him as your Savior and Lord in repentance, you are saved from your sins and the wrath of God that you deserve. And Jesus took that wrath upon Himself on the cross. But to do this, He must first have been born as a baby in a stable in Bethlehem. So let's look back at the passage, verse 15 to verse 20. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made everything, or they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Now the shepherds were in a frenzy. You know, they made haste to Bethlehem. They took off to Bethlehem to see this baby. And once there, they told Mary and Joseph about this announcement of the angels that they had. And then they went out and they told everyone they could find what they had heard and seen. And later, going back to the sheep, they glorified God for the wondrous news that they had been given, the things they had seen, and for the baby Jesus. The shepherds ran to Christ They told others the good news, and they rejoiced. Friends, we have so much knowledge, so much more knowledge at hand in our Bibles than these shepherds ever had. How do we respond to the good news of the birth of Jesus Christ during this special time during the year? And perhaps you have never followed the call of Jesus to believe in Him and receive the salvation that He freely gives you. Now, if you have never done this, run to Him. Run to Him. Jesus was humiliated, suffered. He was crucified so you could be saved from the awful fate that those who do not have the salvation that He brings will suffer for all eternity. And if you have received Jesus Christ, if you are a Christian, or if you are His disciple, well, do you tell others the good news of what you have heard? Do you tell others? And Christmas is the perfect opportunity to tell other people about Jesus. I mean, it's Christmas. I mean, Christ is in the name. It's the perfect opportunity. Tell people the good news of our Savior. The opportunities are all around us. You really have to be deliberate to do it. If you're not thinking about doing it, then you probably won't do it. But if you're thinking, I'm looking for an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus, guess what? You'll find those opportunities. Before you know it, you've told all sorts of people about Jesus. But you got to look for it. You got to look for it. And rejoice. You know what I mentioned earlier about the forced cheer and all that? Well, that's because that's trying to make you rejoice for rejoicing's sake. Rejoice for the sake of, well, it's that time of year, so you have to rejoice. That's not what it's about. It's because of our focus on Christ. It's our looking to Christ, what He has done for us. It's looking at that joy manifests itself in our heart as we think about the grace and the love of our Lord. We can't help but be filled with joy. Joy comes as a result of focusing on Jesus Christ, on what Jesus has done for us. And on Christmas morning, don't make the focus be on opening presents and look what I got. Focus on worshiping the Lord Jesus on Christmas morning. Focus on what He has done for you and all of the world. Read the Christmas passage of Scripture. Pray, sing, give praise to God. And then enjoy those presents. And for what those presents are is a symbol of what God has so freely given us. And I read a story about an 18-year-old freshman in Washington State. She attended a worship service at a local church. And for the first time in her life, she heard the gospel message. And the following Tuesday, the members of the church received a letter from her. It read, "Dear church members, last Sunday I attended your church and I heard the preacher. In the sermon, the preacher said that all men have sinned and rebelled against God. And because of their rebellion and disobedience, they all face eternal damnation and separation from God. But then he also said God loved men and sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to redeem men from their sins, and that all those who believe in Him would go to heaven and live with God eternally. My parents recently died in rapid succession. I know they did not believe in Jesus Christ, whom you call the Savior of the world. If what you believe is true, they are damned. You compel me to believe that either the message is true, that you yourself don't believe this message, or that you don't care. You see, we live only 3 blocks from your church, and no one ever told us. My friends, do not let the world's distractions during Christmas keeping you from running to Christ for the salvation He brings, telling the good news that you have received and living the life He has called you to live in joy as a testimony to those who do not know Him. Christmas is a celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. Celebrate the Lord's birth unashamedly before the whole world. Rejoice. Rejoice. All praise to our Lord God who loves us. And because Jesus was born, we must announce Him with joy to the world.